Carvana has one of the wildest journeys in business. Even if you don't know the name, you've probably seen this, the car vending machine. Yet what's even stranger is the company's journey. The business exploded with a surging share price and was one of the youngest companies in the Fortune 500. Then it crashed 98% and almost went bankrupt. But now it's back again. What's going on with this car company? Well, there's a lot behind the scenes. Carvana is hiding drama on top of drama. This is one of the wildest business stories you'll ever hear. Firstly, what the heck even is Carvana? Why the gigantic vending machine? Ironically, the reality is nowhere near as exciting. They're a used car dealership, an online one. The 8-story vending machine is essentially a massive gimmick. You could buy a used car online without coming to one of these. But when you picked it up, if you wanted, you placed a giant coin into a slot and watched the automated machine pull down your car and present it to you. To be fair, Carvana understands it's a gimmick, but that's the point. Co-founder Ryan Keaton explained, "You're driving along the highway and all of a sudden you see this giant stack of cars encased in glass. That tends to stay with people." And Ryan was definitely right. Carvana quickly began to grow and expand. In 2016, they generated an incredible $370 million in revenue, but by 2019, that was almost $4 billion. That's on top of the $300 million they raised in funding before going public in 2017. That year, the co-founders were all listed in the Fortune 40 Under 40, Ryan Keaton, Ben Huston, and Ernie Garcia III. Remember that last name because it will become important later. Carvana was growing and expanding, with the founders calling it the Amazon of cars. They opened more locations in Orlando, Florida, Ontario, California, and many more. Of course, all of them had the iconic vending machine. But no ordinary car dealership could have climbed as high as Carvana even with such a big gimmick. In truth, Carvana had something else, something very different to other dealerships, and it wasn't just the vending machine. In 2017, after Carvana went public on the NYSE, they made an important acquisition. Car360 for $22 million, which used machine learning and augmented reality to view cars in 3D, which was originally backed by Mark Cuban. Carvana's biggest selling point, aside from the vending machine, was the online purchase experience. They were one of the first to enter the digital-first car dealership space. And now, they were pushing that even further, which was extremely lucky or visionary given what was right around the corner.
We have a new name for the coronavirus. The World Health Organization has officially called it COVID-19.
The pandemic was a terrible time for many, but for Carvana, it was the best possible scenario that could have ever happened. The supply of cars coming into the country was disrupted, so the price of used cars increased dramatically. Their vast inventory of cars suddenly got a lot more valuable with a lot more buyers.
Did I tell you I bought our car from Carvana?
Yeah, Ma.
It was so easy. I found the perfect car.
Under budget, too.
Carvana already had the best digital car buying process with a full 3D view and all kinds of financing options. And in the pandemic, they realized this was their golden ticket. With people stuck at home, this was by far the best way to buy a new car. You could examine it down to the finest detail. So they pushed it even further by offering touchless car delivery.
That's why we've become the nation's fastest growing retailer. Because our customers love it. See for yourself at Carvana.com.
They promoted phrases like shop from your sofa, though it got even better. During the pandemic, the Fed dropped interest rates from 1.75% to 1.25%, then just 2 weeks later, all the way down to 0% to 0.25%. This was great for Carvana because financing cars just got a lot cheaper. One of Carvana's other big selling points was financing options for bad credit buyers. Monthly payments on car loans dropped, even for those with bad credit. Most companies avoid financing options for those with bad credit since it can provide too much risk if a customer defaults. With near zero interest rates though, that didn't matter nearly as much. Borrowing money was very, very cheap. Low interest loans meant Carvana could borrow from banks while taking on lower risk. Carvana would finance cars for low-credit buyers, then bundle these loans together and sell them to investors. And the pandemic put all of this into overdrive, from $5.5 billion in revenue in 2020 to over double at $12.8 billion the following year. But this wouldn't last forever. Things were about to change, and dramatically. Carvana's stock price began to fall, and quickly, from $337 in July 2021 all the way to just $4.70 in December the following year, a 98% drop. What happened? Well, it's actually quite simple. The insane rush of demand and the high prices for used cars began to wane. Used cars began to drop in price as the world opened up. The Federal Reserve also began raising interest rates to as high as 5.25%, meaning there was less demand and financing cars got a lot more expensive. To make matters worse, Carvana had taken in massive amounts of used cars to keep up with the high demand. Their massive inventory suddenly got a lot less valuable after they just paid a premium for it. This was bad news for Carvana, but part of this was also self-inflicted. Those perfect conditions of the pandemic didn't last forever, but Carvana acted like they would. They made a massive bet on growth in a time when the industry did the opposite. They had just purchased ADESA, America's second largest wholesale auto auction chain, for $2.2 billion in cash. To make matters worse, while Carvana had impressive revenue growth, they weren't profitable this whole time, and when they were closest to breaking even, they burned $2 billion on this acquisition. Meaning, this wasn't really a cash deal. They financed the cash through debt, which they were now drowning in. Yet, somehow, something even worse was happening. Under the guise of easy buying, Carvana was hiding a nightmare.
A month after, it was like a nightmare.
First, she says there were mechanical problems.
The shocks were bad, and then the tires had to be replaced after a month.
Then the temporary tags Carvana provided expired, and she says she was unable to register her car. A big problem, since she worked as an Uber driver.
This wasn't an isolated case either. Customers noticed all kinds of problems with cars after buying from Carvana.
My car kept overheating, telling me to pull over.
Yet, this wasn't even the big problem. That was the license plates and registration, which Carvana often just forgot to do. When buying a used car, it usually has to be registered and is given a new license plate. But after buying from Carvana, some customers had to wait months or even up to a year just to get a permanent license plate. Carvana just kept giving customers temporary tags, sometimes from different states. This didn't help when some cars were previously stolen vehicles, which caused even more issues for customers. If you have a tag from the wrong state, you run the risk of getting pulled over and sometimes even arrested.
For $26,000, I got three temporary license plates. My husband went to jail. We both lost our job. My credit was ruined, and I still don't even have a car.
Customers were going through hell, and it was all, allegedly, Carvana's fault. Lawsuits and penalties began to pile up from all over the United States. Carvana paid out millions in settlements to states, and others like Illinois and Michigan even suspended Carvana's license to operate. Customer trust was at an all-time low, and revenue began to fall with the share price. Carvana's story could have ended right there. Yet, it somehow didn't. Against all odds, the company came back from oblivion, though maybe it wasn't for the best. If Carvana wanted to weather the storm, they needed to take a drastic action. So, what did they do? Well, first, they needed to deal with their mountain of debt, which had climbed to an unbelievable $8.9 billion. In July 2023, Carvana made an agreement with almost all its debtors to eliminate over $1 billion in outstanding debt. But the problem with debt isn't that you have to pay it back, but that you have to keep paying interest until you pay it back. That's why the deal also lowered Carvana's interest expenses by over $430 million for 2 years. The noose around Carvana began to loosen, so they continued. They announced sweeping cost-cutting, including massive layoffs, dropping annual expenses by over $1 billion. Then, it happened. Carvana announced their very first profit, $810 million for 2023, then over $1 billion for 2024. This was enough to win back investor confidence. They already had revenue, customers, and a massive brand presence. The only thing that was missing was profit, and now they had that too. Sure, there were ongoing lawsuits and complaints, but if you're profitable, that's just a cost of doing business. As such, the share price began to skyrocket. Carvana's stock came back strong, up 2,000% over 2 years. That's unbelievable. On the surface, it looks like they got their act together, thought long term, and turned the business around. But there was something sinister going on behind the scenes. Remember Ernie Garcia III? He's Carvana's CEO, but he's also in business with his father, Ernest Garcia II, a billionaire and a felon. He pled guilty to bank fraud in 1990, and he's currently a major shareholder of Carvana along with his son. And things get even more interesting when we look at their stock history. Between 2020 and 2021, in the height of Carvana's growth, both Ernest Garcia II and his son sold $3.6 billion of Carvana stock. Next, in July 2023, when the share price was at its lowest, Garcia III bought back $126 million. Then, the very next day, Carvana announced the best quarter in company history. Then, when it began to climb for a second time, Ernest Garcia II sold an additional $1.4 billion in Carvana stock. I don't know about you, but this allegedly looks an awful lot like insider trading, and it seemed like there was more going on as well. On January 25th, 2025, Hindenburg Research released an extensive report titled Carvana, a father-son accounting grift for the ages. The report detailed that in Q3 2024, Carvana reported $3,497 in retail gross profit per unit. Carvana inflates this key metric by 34.5% by dumping an estimated $390 million of selling costs into CG&A annually, in stark contrast to accounting practices at competitors. That's a lot of technical jargon, but what it's saying is damning. They were allegedly moving around the costs of each car sold elsewhere into a $390 million general bucket. This allegedly made the profit calculation of each sale look much, much better. So investors think Carvana is more profitable than it actually is. But it gets worse. Remember those bundles of car loans from earlier? Well, reportedly, Carvana sold $800 million of these loans to a secret party affiliated with Ernest Garcia II, but they never disclosed that to investors or the SEC. Carvana was essentially making a deal with itself to inflate its financials because the sale of these loans looked good. The report ended by saying, "We think the Garcias will leave shareholders with nothing. The company has pushed off creditors and engaged in accounting games while the CEO's father dumps billions in stock." After the report, headlines all over the world picked up on it, and Carvana's share price dropped 13% in just 2 days. Carvana naturally called the report intentionally misleading and inaccurate, but people aren't quite convinced. Law firm Hagens Berman opened an investigation into Carvana to find potential violations of accounting and SEC regulations, but it's too early to tell. Nothing too dramatic has happened to Carvana, aside from the seemingly huge pump and dump with the stock, but I'll be watching closely. The company is extremely strange. Carvana feels like less of a public company and more of the Garcia dynasty, a money-making machine for them, potentially an illegal one at that. There was even more I couldn't get into this video, like their repair shop sending duplicated invoices for car repairs, or how the Garcias are also behind the Drive Time empire, which isn't known for the best things either. We'll have to wait and see how this unfolds, as only time will tell. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.